Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. And the goal is always to make the scriptural truth the emphasis, not the news. This week's program is about the president's tweets against Congressman Elijah Cummings and his Baltimore district. Among many of the tweets, the president tweeted, "Cummings' district is a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this disastrous and filthy place." The left cried racism, and the right cried, "Finally, someone is willing to stand up and say the truth." Now, at first, I didn't think much about this whole controversy. It looked like just another one of those presidential tweet storms. But it soon dawned on me that the ideological social divided opinion on these tweets demonstrate a very important spiritual biblical truth. What should be the major concern? The rudeness of the president, or the truth finally coming out about Baltimore and the inactivity and the uselessness of the politicians there? Some people see the president's criticism as racism. Other people see it as a valid criticism of corruption and sin. Who is right? And we need to ask the question, is it racist to point out the sin of a city or a people group? Was Paul being a racist when he said about the Cretans, Titus 1:12, that one of their own pundits said that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons? Was Isaiah being a racist when he said about the Babylonians, "You have ruined your country. You have slain your people." Isaiah 14:20. Or was Isaiah being a racist when he said about Egypt, "The princes of Zoan are mere fools"? Was the Apostle John being a racist when he called Jerusalem Sodom and Egypt? Or was Jesus being a racist when he said, "Jerusalem is the place that stones the prophets"? So what we're seeing in this controversy regarding Baltimore is two completely different worldviews concerning what is right and what is wrong, what is valid criticism and what's invalid criticism. Again, is the big problem here racism on the right criticizing Baltimore? Or is the big problem here people not wanting to be held accountable? People hiding behind the color of their skin to excuse their corruption? So let me begin by reviewing the details of the tweet war. It all started with Elijah Cummings criticizing the Secretary of Homeland Security over the treatment of children and families detained at the border. Cummings claimed in the hearing that children were sitting in their own feces and they can't take a shower, that these illegal immigrants weren't being treated like human beings. Now, the evidence for Cummings' claims is questionable, and he clearly had an open border bias. So Trump responded to Cummings' rudeness at the hearing with his own rudeness. Trump tweeted, "Representative Elijah Cummings has been a brutal bully, shouting and screaming at the great men and women of Border Patrol about conditions at the southern border, when actually his Baltimore district is far worse and more dangerous. His district is considered the worst in USA." As proven last week during a congressional tour, the border is clean and efficient and well-run, just very crowded. Cummings' district is a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up the dangerous and filthy place. And here Trump was quoting a recent Fox News documentary by an African-American private journalist named Kimberly Clackick. She's been working on raising awareness regarding the corruption in Baltimore. The next tweet from the president: "Why is so much money sent to Elijah Cummings' district when it's considered the worst run and most dangerous anywhere in the United States? No human being would want to live there. Where's all the money going? How much is stolen? Investigate the corrupt mess immediately." Another tweet from the president, Elijah Cummings spends all of his time trying to hurt innocent people through his oversight. He does nothing for his very poor, very dangerous, and very badly run district. Take a look at #BlackForTrump2020. Trump then retweeted a tweet from Kimberly Clackick. More trash, more concerned residents. This is Cummings' district. This has nothing to do with race. Trump tweets, so sad that Elijah Cummings has been able to do so little for the people of Baltimore. Statistically, Baltimore ranks last in almost every major category. Cummings has done nothing but milk Baltimore dry. But the public is getting wise to the bad job that he's doing. On July 28th, Trump tweeted, "There is nothing racist in stating plainly what most people already know, that Elijah Cummings has done a terrible job for the people of his district and Baltimore itself. Dems will always play the race card when they're unable to win with the facts. Shame." Another tweet, "If racist Elijah Cummings would focus more of his energy on helping the good people of his district in Baltimore, perhaps progress could be made in fixing the mess that he has helped to create over many years of incompetent leadership. His radical oversight is a joke. Baltimore, under leadership of Cummings, has the worst crime statistics in the nation. 25 years of all talk and no action. So tired of listening to the same old bull. Next, Reverend Al Sharpton will show up to complain and to protest. Nothing will get done for the people in need. Sad." Well, then Al Sharpton actually did show up in Baltimore to hold a news conference about the president's tweets. And the president tweets again, "I have known Al Sharpton for 25 years. Went to fights with him with Don King. Always got along well. He loved Trump. He would ask me for favors often. Al is a con man, a troublemaker, always looking for a score, just doing his thing. Must have intimidated Comcast and NBC. Hates whites and cops." So there you get a gist of the president's criticisms. And of course, the response on the political left was outrage. You know, rather than dealing with the issue, there were the typical ad hominem arguments that Trump is a racist. Not that Trump's arguments were squeaky clean either. But let's hear from some black conservative leaders, what they have to say. K. Cole James, now the head of the Heritage Foundation, she said, "You may not like the messenger, but embedded in the recent political dust-up about the crime, poverty, and despair in Baltimore were some undeniable truths. If nothing else comes out of this latest debate, the bright light is now shining on a very inconvenient reality. Liberal policies have failed the people of Baltimore and inner cities everywhere." Candace Owens, an African-American activist, she tweeted, "If you are an American and you are defending the state of Baltimore, you should be ashamed of yourself. Outright ashamed that your senseless hatred of Donald Trump is more important than saving our struggling inner city kids. Black America needs Trump." Larry Elder, another black conservative commentator, he sent out a meme that said, "When your district is infested with rats, you lose the argument." And there's a picture of Congressman Elijah Cummings holding a race card. Elders also tweeted, "In 13 Baltimore City high schools, zero students proficient in math. Zero." And then he tweeted out a meme of two rats saying, "We love Baltimore, vote for Elijah Cummings." Tim Scott, the African-American senator from Florida, "Trump's Baltimore tweets not racially motivated, but White House should focus on failed Democratic policies in metro areas." Reverend Bill Owens, head of the Coalition of African-American Pastors, a conservative group of about 3,000, Owens told CNN's Don Lemon that Trump's comments on Baltimore were not racist because the president attacks people of all colors. And President Trump recently met with Owens and a group of inner city pastors to see what can be done for these inner cities. Don Lemon severely criticized Owen for even meeting with the president. Lemon claimed that he was giving Trump a cover for his racism. I could go on and list the names of black leaders who support Trump's tweets against the conditions in Baltimore. But the bottom line is that one's political ideological position determines whether one sees Trump's tweets as racist or as truth. Or rather, whether one focuses on the untactful boorishness of Trump's response, or whether one focuses on the truth of the corruption in Baltimore. And again, this whole controversy demonstrates for us the difference between the ideological teaching on the left and the ideological teaching on the right. Well, which group is right? Should we say both are right, or neither are right, or one is more right than the other? Now, of course, the answer is, which response better reflects the teachings of the Bible? The teachings of the prophets and the apostles and Christ? Not which response we think better reflects the Bible, but what the Bible actually says. Because anyone can pick out a verse to support any position. Someone could use Matthew 7:1 against Donald Trump. Judge not that you be not judged. But somebody on the other side could use Matthew chapter 23 against Cummings and the Baltimore politicians, where Jesus called the leaders of his day serpents and a brood of vipers. Now, I'm not saying that the scripture is ambiguous here. I'm saying that one needs to know the whole of the Bible to discern what's right. And in short, let me start off by saying that despite the rudeness of the president, despite his motives, the real problem is the corruption in our cities and the failed policies of the politicians. Baltimore's homicide rate is worse than Chicago and Detroit. 342 murders last year. That's almost 30 a month. There's no way that investigators can even keep up with those murders. Baltimore's murder rate is worse than Honduras, worse than El Salvador's, worse than Guatemala's. And of course, there are many other violent crimes. Assault, rape, theft, drugs, gangs, terrible environments in the schools, unemployment. Consider Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who is full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and a companion of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. What happened to Jerusalem in her apostasy from God is happening to American cities. And what you sow, you reap. We are seeing the inevitable consequences of ungodly living. In that patriotic hymn, America the Beautiful, the lyrics read, "Thy alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. But now, because of our departure from God, our cities are not alabaster cities gleaming, but they're slums. And the cities are filled with human tears and human sorrow. This is the wages of sin. And God is not mocked. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked will return to the grave, even all nations who forget God." Notice again the Isaiah text. First, the city is filled with immoral people and murderers. But additionally, your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. But someone might say, well, surely the Democratic politicians in Baltimore are sincere, righteous people looking after the welfare of the citizens. You would think. Trump tweeted out 2 weeks ago, "Baltimore numbers are the worst in the United States on crime and the economy. Billions of dollars have been pumped in over the years, but to no avail. The money was stolen or wasted. Ask Elijah Cummings where it went. He should investigate himself with his own oversight committee. And Trump was telling the truth. Audits have shown that millions have disappeared from the city accounts in Baltimore. The city auditor, Audrey Askew, resigned in February this year because of pressure to cook the books. And over the past 5 years, Baltimore has received $903 million in federal grants for operating and capital expenses. And the federal government also provided $1.1 billion to the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. Do you know how many houses you can build with $1 billion? With that money, the city officials should have been able to take down every dilapidated house and replace it with a beautiful new townhome. But no, it went into the pockets of bureaucratic salaries. So again, Isaiah 1:23, your rulers are rebels and companion of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after reward. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. So this is the truth about Baltimore. And yes, God sometimes uses bad actors to tell the truth, like Donald Trump. And there are many examples of this in Scripture. For example, even Pilate said that the Jews delivered up Jesus out of envy. And Pilate mocked the Jews by calling Jesus the King of the Jews. But Pilate, even with all of his bad motives, was telling the truth. And the people he criticized needed to repent of their sins. Now, remember at the beginning of the year, when the president said that there was a crisis at the border, and the opposing party insisted that there was no crisis at the border, only to have to backpedal on that statement a few days later because the crisis was so obvious. Well, the same thing has happened in regard to Baltimore. The problems in the city are so obvious that even the media cannot deny the truth. The Washington Post put out a lengthy piece entitled, "Years Before Trump's Attack, Freddie Gray's Death Sparked a Huge Effort to Heal Baltimore. It Wasn't Enough." And the piece goes on to explain that for all the politicians' attempts to fix Baltimore, nothing has worked. Quote, "The Obama White House was attempting to fix Baltimore. It had convened cabinet secretaries, top advisors, and Maryland leaders to work on repairing the deep wounds in one of America's oldest majority black cities and remedy decades of racial disparities. Representative Elijah Cummings and then State Senator Catherine Pugh, during the unrest after Freddie Gray's death in 2015, said we're trying to find a way to give a shot to Baltimore to try to begin at least to resolve the problems. Representative Elijah Cummings recalled earlier this summer, how do we take this moment, put the spotlight on Baltimore, and try to make things right as fast as we can? 4 years later, in the midst of a re-election campaign, President Trump has made Baltimore his latest foil, blaming Cummings and the other Democrats for its high crimes and entrenched poverty. Maryland leaders and urban experts dismiss those attacks as racist and misguided. At the same time, those involved in the once-in-a-generation effort to deliver systemic social changes acknowledge it has largely fizzled, undermined by a deep distrust of institutions, unstable political leadership, and the intractable barriers erected by generations of poverty, segregation, and disinvestment. An organization launched to drive the change shut its doors after less than 2 years. A new nationally lauded after-school program has folded. Many other initiatives worked as envisioned, but have barely dented the disparities. The state's effort to demolish blighted buildings, for example, can't keep pace with the decay. Violence has spun out of control, and the police department has continued to struggle, leaving Baltimore leaders to grasp at unorthodox solutions. What was promised was way too low to meet the challenges we have, said Lawrence Brown of Morgan State University, who wrote a book about Baltimore's racial inequality. We have not learned what needs to happen. It didn't matter that state and local government, private corporations, and philanthropic groups had also joined the heightened rush to help, contributing millions of dollars for a wide array of programs. If the underlying issues are structural racism and poverty and distrust of policing, there's no magic elixir to fix that. There is still a sense of hopelessness. Now, notice in this article, the leftist reasons given for the problem in Baltimore. Racism, distrust in institutions, poverty, disinvestment. And with a wrong diagnosis, there always comes a wrong cure. Sounds identical to the situation in ancient Israel. The nation had serious problems. But for the people, the solution could not be get right with God. It couldn't be a moral problem. It couldn't be a sin problem. It couldn't be a rebellion against God problem. It has to be the environment. It has to be the Assyrians. It has to be anything but personal sin, because in an ungodly, secular, materialistic, Darwinistic worldview, there's no such thing as sin. People are simply victims of their environment. And the only way to help them is to give them money and praise and affirmation and empowerment. That's the world's solution. And it only empowers sin. So the prophet Isaiah told his people the solution. Isaiah 30:15, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in repentance and rest you will be saved. But you were not willing." And even Jesus explained the reason Jerusalem would be destroyed is because the people didn't know the things that make for peace. You know, they tried many things, but they didn't follow God's way to peace. What are the things that make for peace and goodness in a city? Well, what did the people in Jesus' day reject? The message of sin and damnation and the need for personal repentance, faith, and conversion. A revival can only take place in a city when the people reject the congratulatory entitlement, I am a victim philosophy of secular humanism, when they throw the leftist ideology out of the schools and out of City Hall and bring back the word of the Lord. But the people of Jerusalem did not turn to God and to God's word. And so Jesus said, "Behold, your house is left to you desolate." So also the city of Baltimore. May this not be said of your town, your family, or your own personal life. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. I have a few more things I need to address concerning the angry reaction from the left. Things about how the people in Baltimore think they're religious, but they're actually following a false gospel. A few thoughts about Congressman Cummings and his church. But again, that's the YouTube version of this program, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the way of the transgressor is hard. When we forsake you, we forsake our own mercies. We ask you, O Lord, to deliver us from our sin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.